We are sending spacecraft again to Venus thanks to NASA. This week, the American Space Agency announced the 15th and 16th missions of the Discovery program, which is the NASA program for exploration of the solar system. Missions like the Pathfinder rover to Mars, the InSight lander that is currently operational on Mars, the Messenger mission to Mercury, the Dawn mission to Ceres and Vesta, Lucy and Psyche to asteroids, all of these were Discovery missions. In this video, let's look at the two missions that NASA has shortlisted to fly to Venus, and we'll also discuss what we know about Venus so far and what we think about the scope for life there. I'm Sandhya Ramesh, and this is Pure Science. The two missions that NASA has selected are called Veritas and Da Vinci Plus. Unlike Indian space mission names, NASA is really big on clever sounding acronyms, and it actually likes to retrofit names too. So Veritas actually stands for Venus Emissivity, Radio Science, InSAR Topography and Spectroscopy. And Da Vinci Plus stands for Deep Atmosphere Venus Investigation of Noble Gases, Chemistry and Imaging. Plus is actually the name of the atmospheric probe that will drop from the Da Vinci orbiter. Both these missions are orbiters. Veritas will map the surface of Venus and study its geological history. It has a synthetic aperture radar, and it will create 3D reconstructions of the entire topography and surface of the planet. And this will also help us study any geological processes like plate tectonics and volcanism, should they be active on the planet today. It will also map infrared emissions from the surface of Venus, and this will help determine what kinds of rocks are present on the surface. Da Vinci Plus will measure the composition of the atmosphere around Venus to understand how it formed and evolved. It will also try and determine if the planet had a liquid ocean of water in the past. The orbiter consists of the probe called Plus, which is an atmospheric descent probe or a descent sphere. As it drops through the atmosphere, it will make measurements of Nobel gases and other compositional gases and relay this information back to the orbiter before crashing to the ground. The data from the probe will actually help determine how Venus started to undergo its runaway greenhouse gas effect, which caused the planet to basically become the hottest planet in the solar system. And studying Venus will help us understand the future course of our own greenhouse gases and global warming, and if we could potentially prevent a runaway greenhouse gas effect here on Earth. So, why is Venus the hottest planet in the solar system? The answer has to do with the atmosphere and clouds. Venus has the thickest atmosphere of all the four terrestrial planets in the solar system, and this causes the planet to basically be engulfed in white reflective clouds. We cannot see the surface of Venus, and even orbiters around Venus itself cannot see the surface of Venus in visible light. On the surface, the atmospheric pressure is about 92 times what we experience here at sea level. This dense atmosphere is so thick that walking through it would actually feel like walking through water. And all of this atmosphere is made up of over 96% carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide, as we all know, is an extremely potent greenhouse gas, and this traps the sun's heat. Additionally, above the atmosphere of Venus at about 35 kilometers, there are also clouds of sulfuric acid. These clouds form a blanket over the layers of atmosphere of Venus, and they further help to trap more heat in. This eventually led to Venus undergoing a runaway greenhouse effect that has resulted in the insane surface temperatures today. At the surface, the temperature on average is about 465 degrees Celsius, which everyone likes to describe as being hot enough to melt lead. The surface of Venus is hotter even than Mercury, although Mercury is closer to the Sun, because atmosphere plays the role of temperature regulation and spreading and maintaining warmth at night. We think that Venus also probably held an ocean of liquid water in the past, but it evaporated away. Naturally, such extremely high temperatures poses great challenges for any landers. Such spacecraft should be able to withstand the high heat and not melt. And we haven't successfully built anything so far that can survive on the surface of Venus beyond a few hours. Despite that, Venus was the first planet on which we successfully performed a soft landing. Venera 7 was launched by the former Soviet Union in 1970, and it survived on the surface of Venus for just a little bit over 20 minutes. 4 years earlier, two probes did crash on the surface of Venus, but no probe has reached the surface while still transmitting. They died in the atmosphere itself while they were falling through. They were both Venera missions, again part of the Soviet Venera program. Venus did not have an orbiter until Venera 9 in 1975, but by then, Americans had already put an orbiter around Mars, which was the Mariner 9. Venera 13 in 1982 was the first to send color photographs from the surface of Venus, and it even performed a little bit of soil analysis. It was operational for about 127 minutes, which is the record so far, and it was quite a big deal. Venera 14 also landed the same year, but since then, we've only sent orbiters to the planet. We haven't really tried to put anything on the surface, and we aren't even planning now because we simply do not have the tech or the ability to build materials that can withstand that tremendous amount of heat for long periods of time and function on the surface. Even India's future Venus mission, the Shukrayaan mission, is expected to be an orbiter. But this is not to say that we don't know what the surface is like, because we do. The surface of Venus has been mapped extensively by radar, first by the Magellan mission. The maps show thousands of volcanoes and impact craters. There are two main highland areas, or what is described as continents, and one of these has a mountain range with a peak that is taller than Mount Everest. There are also a lot of geological structures associated with volcanism, including unique ones that are found only on Venus, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence of lava flow, which is a bit of a mystery. Venus also shows few impact craters only, which means that it did survive all those periods of intense collisions in the past, and those craters were then subsequently covered by new lava. So its surface is actually relatively quite young, at about 300 to 500 million years old. All surface features on Venus are named for women, historical women and mythological women. We have three craters actually that are named after Indian women. The Joshi crater is named after Anandi Gopal Joshi. The Jhirad crater is named after Jerusha Jhirad. And the Medhavi crater after Ramabhai Medhavi. If you are curious about these names and the spectacular women that these craters are named after, there's a post that will be linked down below in the description. The atmosphere of Venus is really fascinating. It is very rich in noble gases, which means that there were unusual processes involved in the formation of the atmosphere that was a little different as compared to the formation of the Earth's atmosphere. Studies have suggested that billions of years ago, the atmospheres of Earth and Venus would have been slightly similar. But at that point, the sun was also slightly less luminous. It was a little less hotter and less brighter. As it became more luminous, it likely evaporated the water in Venus's oceans. All of this evaporated water entered as vapor into the atmosphere. And this vapor would have led to a runaway greenhouse effect once a critical threshold was crossed. With that level of heat, we don't really expect anything to survive on the surface of Venus. But we are looking at the cloud tops of Venus. Above the thick atmosphere, there are clouds of sulfuric acid, which also have other elements in them. Some scientists theorize that these could actually be habitable to extremophile microorganisms that like living in cooler acidic conditions, such as the upper layers of the atmosphere here. And this idea really isn't new. It goes all the way back to the 60s, back to Carl Sagan, in fact. And a few months ago, we actually heard about the presence of phosphine on Venus. This gas was detected in the atmosphere of Venus, and it is not naturally produced there. So a proposed explanation was that of microorganisms or living organisms. However, this data was reanalyzed and it's now accepted that the original data was likely misinterpreted or misunderstood. We've discussed this phosphine episode before in detail, in fact, in 2 Pure Science videos. Those will also be linked down below if you're curious. So missions to Venus is a good thing. We have a lot to learn. They have challenges, but we know surprisingly little about our planetary neighbor, especially compared to our other planetary neighbor on the other side of our orbit. And Venus is often called Earth's sister or Earth's twin because it's kind of similar in size and even gravity. So studying Venus can give us better insights into our own understanding of things like potential astrobiological processes, unusual volcanic processes, and most importantly, crucial atmospheric and weather processes that we need to understand for the well-being of our own planet and our future.